If a man is in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Put those on the floor. We've already heard, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will move amongst us. You will speak to our hearts. You will make us so aware of your presence here with us this morning. And we will be drawn closer to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Are you feeling spiritually fitter than you were? How's your physical health this morning? It is true that we're always being challenged about our physical health, especially you younger folks won't realise this as you get older. It's not just the exercise and the diet, that's fair enough. But it starts to be what's in the food. How much fat, how much salt, how much this, that and the other. And we're always being challenged to do things in a different way. Just when you think you've got a healthy diet and lifestyle, they change it and we're being challenged to do something different. So our series on spiritual discipline is a bit like that. It's a bit like challenging us to do things in a different way. You know, when I think about our diets and everything, we're really thankful for the good habits you picked up earlier on in life and wish you'd not slipped into so many bad ones. Like, I am convinced that when I'm tired, chocolate's the answer. If I'd not slipped into that habit, I wouldn't have it to deal with. And spiritually, we can slip into bad habits, you know. It's easy for us to let things slip when it comes to Bible reading, as Mark was challenging us last week. To think when you've been a Christian a bit, well, I know that passage. In fact, after Mark's talk, I realised that I had slipped into a really bad habit where the Bible reading's concerned. I wasn't sure whether to share it or not this morning, but we have one lot of Bible study notes, and we read the Bible together in the evening. Dave usually gets the notes and tells us which passage we've got to read. If I can recite that passage off by heart before he reads it, I think, yes, I'm using the Bible to score points. How bad is that? That's something I've slipped into. I never used to pick the Bible up without praying first that God would speak to me. And here I am using it to go, yes, I remembered that one. That's easy to slip into bad habits. So it's good to be challenged to see where we are with our spiritual disciplines. And why? Because, as it says in Ephesians 2, we need to be ready to do the good things that God has prepared for us to do. We don't know what God's going to ask us to do in the next few days, in the next weeks and months. We need to be ready for the good things God has prepared for us to do. And also, you know, if you read in Revelations about how God spoke to the churches there, he spoke to the church in Ephesus, and that church had so much going for it. They'd done so many good things, but the message that God had for that church was that they had lost their first love. It's so easy for us to let our first love slip. So as we enter together in this course on spiritual disciplines, the aim is to keep our first love and for God to find us enthusiastic and prepared for whatever he's going to call us to do. So Mark looked at Bible study. This week we're looking at the spiritual discipline, or the good habit, as I like to call it, of prayer. Now, I know we are a praying community because people are always telling me they're praying for Milo, they're praying for us. But it's good to look afresh at prayer. If I were to go round and ask you, each one of you, your experiences of prayer, I'm sure I would get so many different answers. For some, prayer, right from the beginning of becoming a Christian, seems to be as natural as breathing. For others, it's much more difficult. It's something they've really got to try and get into, and it doesn't come naturally at all. Some seem to have many answers to prayer, and others struggle seeing where God's working. For most, in my experience, prayer is the thing that we all most want to do, but when life gets busy, it's the first thing to slip. There was a survey taken some time ago that said most people prayed at some time in their life, usually in difficult situations. And a survey by Tear Fund in 2007 said that even people with no religion prayed at times. Can you remember the first time you prayed? I remember praying for the first time as a teenager. I wasn't a Christian. We'd moved house. I'd left all my friends behind. And I remember looking out of the bedroom window and saying, "If you're there, God, I need some friends." God was there, and he gave me some friends. My brother-in-law, Eddie, as he'd gone through the whole of the miners' strike, was in a really, really desperate situation. And he called out to God. He wasn't a Christian. And he called out, "God, if you're there, you must help me." God was there, and he did help him. He became a Christian a few months later and has been active in his church for many, many years. But this prayer, effective as it may be, is so different from the prayer that Jesus describes in today's passage. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." This is a different kind of prayer. This is a prayer where the most important thing is being in God's presence. No pressure to speak, no pressure to do, just to receive from God. That place where, and I'll quote this book quite a lot because it's my favourite book on prayer. In Richard Foster's book on prayer, he says, "Where God can sing his love song over you." And just as the branch of the vine remains in that vine, receiving all it needs, for us to be in that special place, receiving all we need from God and feeling one with him, then we can ask whatever we wish. And where the outcome of being in that place is joy. Because it tells us in verse 11, remain in me so that my joy may be in you and your joy complete. Do you want to experience that? How do we experience being in that place where God can sing his love song over us? Over this last year, we've watched athletes focus on winning their medals. We can imagine, and if Darrell was here, he could tell us just what sacrifice that takes. Just what sacrifice Ollie and Sam, his sons, have had to make. The times when I'm sure they would rather be anywhere else than training in that pool. Times when they've lost races and got back in again to win. Their reward, they received their Olympic medals. To win has been their passion and their focus, and they've sacrificed to do that. For us as Christians, our passion and focus, our gold medal, if you like, should be to remain in Jesus. To let nothing draw us away, to abide in him, to feel at one with him, and to do whatever that takes, to do whatever that takes to achieve that. And just as athletes have to put disciplines in place, so we have to put disciplines in place too. We've heard about the discipline of Bible study, today the discipline of prayer. When our children were small, we used to sing a song with them, read your Bible, pray every day. And it's so true. If we want to fulfill all that God wants us to fulfill, if we want to know his presence more and more in our lives, then we need to read our Bible, we need to pray, and then we'll hear more about the other disciplines later in the weeks that will tell us how to do that even more. But I know we live busy lives. It can be difficult to fit prayer in, but we somehow manage to fit everything else in. We somehow manage to get our meals ready and do that and sleep. But it is difficult to fit prayer in at times. But it says on this week's, as it says on this week's discipleship course, it is really important to bring all the anxieties and everything, to just make that special time to bring those to God in prayer. Richard Foster says, there should be no day when we never think of Jesus and feel his presence. So we need to make time to be with God. We need to, I don't know, it feels like a battle sometimes to make sure that prayer stays where it should. But we need to make sure we do that. In this next month's UCB word for today, perhaps you have that, I'm a bit in front. In March, it tells us that when we come to the end of our lives, we will have spent 6 months waiting at traffic lights and a huge 5 years waiting in queues. And they suggest that we use these times to pray. Now, I think that's good to use every opportunity we can to pray like that. But to me, it doesn't quite make up for just putting that time aside to be with God. Even if it's just a few minutes, it's amazing what God can do with a few minutes of our time dedicated to him. But remember, prayer does not always come natural to us. Even the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They watched him and they asked him to teach them to pray. Sometimes we need help. I know it's a thing in St. John's to have free prayer, and that's really good. But when I looked on my bookshelf, I realised that over my Christian life there have been prayer books that have really helped me. And sometimes we need those aids to help us to pray, and it's not a failure, it's not a second-class praying, it's just something that helps us in our Christian life. I brought two along with me this morning. This was the first prayer book I bought. It's been on my bookshelf since I was a teenager, and that's why it's very brown around the edges, because it's a long time since I was a teenager. But I would not part with this book. It's very precious to me. It's by Michel Coist, and he takes everyday objects and he lets them lead him into prayer. And having this book, using his words, not mine, just helped me to realise that prayer was much more than I had ever thought it was, and how to allow our daily circumstances to lead us to prayer. So that was the first book I bought. I think the last prayer book I bought was this one I bought when I was pastoral worker, because in some situations you really just don't know what to pray for people, and I needed help. So I brought this book, and I'd just like to read you one of the prayers out of it that I used quite a lot at that time. And it's this. O Lord, give yourselves above all things. Give us yourself above all things. It is in your coming alone that we are enriched. It is in your coming that your true gifts come. Come, Lord, that we may share the gift of your presence. Come, Lord, with healing of the past. Come and calm our memories. Come with joy for the present. Come and give life to our existence. Come with hope for the future. Come with a sense of eternity. Come with strength for our wills. Come with power for our thoughts. Come with love for our hearts. Come and give affection to our being. Come, Lord Jesus, give yourself above all things and help us to give ourselves to you. That's just a taster. Beautiful words, I think. That's just a taster of the prayers in that book. Not my words, but somebody else's words that really helped me to pray. Not second class praying, just helping us along the way. Now, I messed my notes up when I did that, picking it up with the book. Oh, here we are, right. And there's something else you can do if you're that way inclined. I was talking to somebody about trying to remember where Bible verses were, and she says, well, why don't you Google them? Just like that, you see, that was second nature to her. You can Google prayers. If you need help with praying in a certain situation, you can Google them and find the prayers on the internet. The important thing is to pray. Do you know, as we pray, things happen. We begin to recognise God more and more. We become more aware of him. We see him working. We recognise his voice as he speaks to us. We receive his words, his pictures. Because prayer is about a relationship. It's about our relationship with God. And as we're spending time together, God is able to reveal more and more of himself to us. Something else happens too. We begin to change. You can't go into prayer wound up about a situation, hand it to God and come out the same. It doesn't happen. We begin to change. We begin to bear fruit in our lives. And that's when we realise we are abiding in Christ. The very thing we are focusing on achieving, that place where we feel at one with God, when we pray, we realise that that is with us here and now. God becomes a reality in our lives. How good is that? Not having to wait for the reward, but praying, and God reveals himself more and more to us. It's like it's there in the future, but it's also here with us now. We experience his presence as we pray. But back to the passage, there's also a warning in this passage. A warning that if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that withers. It's important to learn to pray. If we don't, we won't bear fruit. We won't achieve what God wants us to do. And we are in danger of falling away. We can cut ourselves off from God. We can miss out on knowing Christ. Now I've come on to a different point, really. I really felt that this is what God wanted me to say this morning. All friendships are important, but long-standing friendships are a real blessing to us. People that have seen, known us through the years. But friendships survive because both parties make time to spend time with each other, to be in touch with each other. And that doesn't mean that there's not disagreements or different ways of doing things. For a friendship to survive, there has to be forgiveness and acceptance as part of that relationship. Do you know, we don't always give God the same effort. We don't always put the same effort into our relationship with God. We can pray, and then things don't quite turn out as we wanted. Our prayer seems to be unanswered. God disappoints us, if we're quite honest. And that can be, for some, a time when they stop praying. But do you know, that's when we need to get back in the pool and give it another go. For others, just the fact that things didn't turn out as they wanted can just cause a small barrier between them and God. And just lead to the attitude, well, I'm not going to trust God all that much anymore. I'll follow him a bit. He can have part of me, but not the whole of me. And that stops us from receiving all that God wants to give us. I think that happened to me many years ago. My mum died in her 50s. Of course, we'd been praying for her. I was a very enthusiastic new Christian. I'd been praying for her to be healed, but she wasn't. Now, I didn't realise at the time, but looking back now, I really feel that changed the way I prayed at that time. I was not praying for healing anymore. I wasn't going to trust God with that for anybody else. So we can just let things creep in and get in the way of our relationship. When that happens, we just need to tell God we're sorry and come back to him. Jesus, God's beloved son, had to cope with unanswered prayer. In Gethsemane, the Bible tells us he was overwhelmed with sorrow. He fell on his face on the ground. Have I ever been that serious in prayer? That was serious prayer. He prayed, may this cup be taken away from me, the crucifixion that was facing him. 3 times Jesus prayed that prayer, but always adding, not my will, but yours be done. How difficult it must have been for God not to answer that prayer, to take that cup away from him. But where would we be? We'd all be lost now. He did it for our sake. I think Jesus could add too, not my will but yours be done, because he truly knew the Father. He trusted him. He loved him. His passion was to do the Father's will because he knew how to draw away and be with his Father. They had that relationship. For us, the result of abiding, remaining in Jesus, means we will be able to bear fruit and give glory to the Father. We will be able to love God more. Our first love is kept alive in prayer, Bible study, and the other spiritual disciplines that we will hear more about over the next weeks. I just want to end with with the way Richard Foster ends his book on prayer. If ever you want to read a good book on prayer, go for that. And this is how he ends his book on prayer. 2 millennia ago, at an early morning breakfast by the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus had only one question for Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Jesus did not ask him about his effectiveness or his skill or anything, but his love. 3 times, Jesus asked Simon, do you love me? Peter struggled with an adequate response to that probing query. Finally, he blurted out, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Assured of his heart, Jesus gave Peter work to do. Feed my lambs. The same question is asked of us today. The same work is given to us. That's the end of the quote. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. What is God calling us as a church to do in the future? Whatever it is, we need to be sure we're in that place where God can sing his love song over us so that we can go out and do the work that God has called us to do.
Always love it when Eileen preaches because she's so gentle, and yeah, I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been hit with a sledgehammer this morning. But she does it in such a gentle, kind of way. Thank you, Eileen. I think there are, we could say, let's respond to Jesus. Who wants to be better at praying? But I think that might not be all that helpful. So what we're going to do is the band are going to come and they've got a couple of songs that they're going to sing. And while they're doing that, you might want to do one of a number of things. You might want to take advantage of the fact that you've got kind of 4 or 5 minutes where you can be quiet with the music playing, but you can be quiet and you can do some business with God. And if you know that you've got business with God that needs doing, then you should do that and take advantage of it. As Eileen said, some of us, all of us, lead very busy lives and we find it so hard to make that time. Well, start now. Don't say, oh, I'll do it later. Start now. That's one thing that you might want to do. Some of us, I think, have a really strong feeling that our prayer life is just a bit of a mess, really. And what we really want to do is just draw that line and start again. And God's in the business of drawing lines and starting again. So you're in the right place this morning. And if you feel if that's how you feel, then you might want someone to pray with you. And if you do, then while we're singing, if you just come up, I know Ava will come and pray with you, and Eileen and I will. So if you want that, then come as we sing. Or you might want to sing. You can do those things, or you can do something else, as long as it's not going to hurt anyone. So why don't we stand together and sing, and if you'd like some prayer, come forward. If you want to make time with God, you can stay seated and do that. Let's do that together.
Oh, let's